You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. As I'm going through this information here, it is shocking the decrease in alcohol consumption that Americans are currently experiencing. And it's a bunch of different factors. People are realizing it's bad for their health, and those that do drink are much more likely to drink in moderation. The number of people that have completely given up alcohol altogether is higher. In fact, right now in America, we are looking at the lowest percentages of people who report drinking alcohol since Gallup started keeping track of that information going back to 1939. This is impacting the alcohol industry. Costs are going up, and when people have to sacrifice something, if groceries are too expensive, and for those of you that have to buy the gasoline for your vehicles, I'm not even sure what gasoline costs, but I'm sure it probably costs too much. Going out and spending $100 or $150 for a night out might be the first thing that people sacrifice. That has a big time impact on the bottom line that these bars and restaurants and any liquor or spirit serving establishment has to play with. They're making less money. Rents are going up. Leases are going up. Tariffs are making imported. Think about all the beer. You guys drink the Heinekens and the Löwenbräus, and I don't know, you drink all sorts of beers. Beer, generally, pretty gross. Not good. Not tastes like bubbly sawdust at best. It's just not good. Here's what I don't understand. I really can't get it. I sure am thirsty. I'd like a Miller beer to quench my thirst. First of all, yuck. Or this is the other one I can't get. Oh, I'm going to go and get some chicken wings. I'm going to wash it down with a pitcher of beer. It's horrible because it impacts the taste of the chicken wings, because maybe I just have a sensitive palate. I can't. Oh, I'm going to get a pizza and a beer. No, get you a Pepsi.
Beer's gross.
It is. It's not very good. Even beer that's good has got to be flavored with something other than beer. It's got to have flavors in it. It's got to have raspberry drops or something in it. I just can't. That's a different kind of human being. If somebody says, I'm about to go get me a 12-pack, stay out of their way. They don't have anything to lose at this point. Oh, what are you doing tonight? Well, I'm going to go out down to the liquor store, probably get me a 12-pack. Good luck. That's gross. Or drinking. So here's what I do. Alcohol first. Okay? You go out. Get your little drinks. Have your little couple little drinks. Then order food. Then accompany the food with something non-alcoholic because I want to taste my food. This is a Sherwin thing. Your experiences may vary. But then by the time I eat the food and drink something non-alcoholic, I usually get pretty sober. Might have a couple glasses of water and I take my ass home. I don't stay intoxicated very long. I metabolize alcohol very, very fast. And plus, I don't overdo it. If the drinks are strong, all your boy needs is two. Then I get some food. Have me a raspberry lemonade. Maybe some water. Hang out for a little bit. Socialize. And then that's it. Go home. Or if I know it's going to be an evening in which the consumption is going to be heavy and the food won't come until the end of the night, I hop in an Uber. But I hate hopping in Ubers because one out of every 50 Ubers actually knows how to drive. They drive so slow and they make the worst decisions. They're so bad at driving. How do you drive for a living? Somebody help me understand. How do you drive for a living and you suck at it? They're so bad. I had an Uber driver one night didn't speak a lick of English because I asked him something. And he was just like, oh, no. I was like, can you Can you turn on the radio to 101.7? Because I wanted to hear whatever was playing on 101.7 going to my destination. He looked back at me and, you know, he turned his head. He was like, oh, and then kept driving. I was like, damn it. I asked him to roll the window down because, you know, they locked the windows in the back. Because I don't know if they think I'm going to jump out or what. I was like, can you unlock the window? Because I thought maybe he would at least understand that. If you're not going to speak English and you are driving people around in America, and you don't get more America than Milwaukee. We are what America is. I don't know what y'all think America is. America is here, right here. It's not L.A. It's not New York. Definitely ain't Chicago. It's not Racine either, even though they got a very nice harbor. America is Milwaukee. So if you're going to be, and this, I hope this doesn't sound racist. This is more economic than anything else. But if you're going to be in America and not speak English, okay, first of all, it's in everyone's best interest if you learn some basic stuff, because what if you need help and you don't speak the language? Like, what if you're in trouble? You just saw a terrible crime and you want somebody to call 911. Yeah! We don't know what you're saying. And then they start pointing and like, I don't know what that means. And then they start doing makeshift sign language. I don't speak normal sign language. But if you're going to work in America, this is just giving you one of my gripes about how much I hate Uber, but it's the smart thing to do. At least know the basic English of car function. Turn on the air conditioning. Turn it off. Oh, I'm a little cold. I'm a little warm. Can you turn the radio on? Turn the radio off. Can you play some music? At least know that basic stuff. Because I felt like I was being held hostage. Because what if I needed him to turn around? Or I needed to go back home? Or what if I'm in the back of the Uber and my elbow gets dislocated and I got to have him take me to the hospital? I couldn't even tell him. I couldn't even communicate basic stuff to him. Because when I asked him to put the radio on, he looked at me. He was like, oh, hey, oh. And he had the cutest little smile. He was just small Asian. Little, like he had a booster seat. He wasn't hurting anybody. Not at all. He's just trying to feed his Asian family. He just wants to make sure that they have much Asian food to eat because Asian babies get hungry. That's all. I'm not shaming him. He's a working man. And he was providing me a much needed service. He was taking me to my destination. He just didn't know any damn English. And I'd ask him to roll the window down. He looked at me. Oh. And then he'd wag his finger at me. Like, what is that supposed to mean? Crime is only part of the story. Water Street has experienced shootings, fights, loitering, and highly publicized late night disorder. A deadly triple shooting occurred around Water and Knapp in March. Former Duke's security personnel have specifically said altercations have hurt Water Street. Generally, the concern is serious enough that Milwaukee police are considering establishing a presence in the former Duke space. In fact, they got the okay and the approval to put a substation in the old Duke's location, which is right on the corner of Juno and Water. The concern is serious enough that Milwaukee police are considering establishing that police substation. Crime can, in fact, have an effect. Insurance costs have gone up. Security expenses have gone up. Employee recruitment is difficult. The customer perception of Water Street is bad. Nighttime foot traffic, all of that is impacting revenue. So saying crime doesn't matter would be wrong, but saying crime explains some bar closures or all bar closures is an oversimplification. Duke's itself illustrates why. Duke's on Water operated for roughly 22 years before closing in May of 2026. Crime immediately became a part of the discussion. But reporting on the closure found something more mundane. The building had been sold and the operators couldn't reach acceptable terms on a new lease. WISN.com reported that the proposed rent was too high for the operator to remain profitable amid other challenges facing the business. Milwaukee consumers are paying substantially more sales tax. This is the most overlooked piece of the discussion as to why Milwaukee bars are closing. Before January 2024, the Milwaukee consumer faced a 5% Wisconsin sales tax plus the then 0.5% Milwaukee County tax. Beginning January 1, 2024, the Wisconsin sales tax remained at 5.0%. The Milwaukee County sales tax went up to 0.9%, and the city of Milwaukee sales tax increased 2 full percentage points. The total, 7.9%. And the Wisconsin Department of Revenue specifically says these taxes apply to retail alcohol sales at taverns, restaurants, liquor stores, and brew pubs. That's a 2.4% increase in the combined rate from 5.5% to 7.9%. It doesn't mean the bar itself pockets less from a $10 pre-tax drink. The customer pays the tax, but it raises the final price of going out. An example, a $100 taxable bar slash restaurant tab. The old tax would have been $5.50. The current tax, $7.90. That's $2.40 more before considering higher menu prices, your tips, parking, or transportation. One night doesn't matter all that much, but multiply it across a year of nights and combine it with inflation, and consumers start saying, quote, maybe we should stay home tonight. Bars are caught between price-sensitive consumers and rising costs. This is arguably the industry's biggest structural problem. A tavern isn't merely buying beer and selling it at a markup. It has to pay rent, wages, payroll taxes, utilities, and we're going to talk about We Energies in a little while as well, insurance, liquor inventory, food, security, cleaning services, maintenance services, credit card fees, licensing, entertainment, plus property costs. If those costs increase, and all of them have, the logical situation is raising drink prices. But that runs directly into a consumer who is already becoming less interested in alcohol and more concerned about price. The International Wine and Spirits Record says economic pressure has become one of the major reasons consumers moderate alcohol purchases, and its 2026 research found consumers drinking less frequently and consuming fewer drinks when they do drink. That's an ugly equation for a bar: higher cost per customer plus fewer customers plus fewer drinks per customer. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to explain the tariff picture, which is probably the largest reason why so many bars are closing. This is Donald Trump's fault. While it's easy to blame black people and blame crime on Water Street and the shootings and the violence that we have had, if it was not for Trump's tariffs, because inflation was already a thing, people are drinking less, that's a thing, people are drinking more infrequently, so when they do go out, it's only on occasion. That has an impact as well. Obviously, crime, you can't dismiss crime altogether, but adding tariffs on top of increased sales taxes, rent costs, security costs, the tariffs are not helping either, and that is passed directly on to the consumer. And we have increased sales taxes since the January 1st, 2024 of 2.4 additional percent. All of these things are adding up to people drinking less, spending less money, and more bars closing. And guess what? More are going to close yet and still. Let's talk about tariffs on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Babar says drinking is for losers. I don't know. It's for winners, too. Let a team win the World Series. They're going to drink some champagne. I think drinking is for winners, if you ask me. Felix, I'm not going to entertain your question. I don't even like the fact that you're asking it in the YouTube chat, Felix, because we have already put this damn question to rest. Who has the best wings? Felix, everybody has the best wings. Everybody's wings are delicious. There's no bad chicken wings anywhere. Even bad chicken wings are still decent. The chicken wing game in the city of Milwaukee has been elevated to damn near culinary masterpiece. It's whatever kind of wing you want. They got them. Wings are, they're just, even the difference between a subpar wing and a good wing is marginal. It's the sauce. It's how it's fried. Some of you prefer all flats. You're weird people. Wings need to be a mix. You got to have some drummings because they're little drumsticks. You got to know how to eat around the gristle. I have a very trained tooth. Like, I know how to carve around the inedible parts of a wing. I'll put a bone in my mouth, spit it out clean. Do we need to take some time to teach y'all how to eat chicken wings? Because I'm very disappointed. If I see your discarded chicken wings with serviceable meat left on the bone, a couple of things. We're not going to be friends anymore. And if you're a woman, I'm I hope you die alone. I appreciate a woman that can order chicken wings. I like women that eat. You understand it? Don't be all, I don't know when I went. Over there hearing your stomach growling louder than my brain. I don't know if I'm all that hungry. I don't. Eat, woman. And you're going to get, I'm just going to get a little something light. And this is what happens. You get a little something light, stomach still growling. I ordered several entrees, okay? I got plates from ear to ear. Can I have a little? No, you can't. You can't. My stomach is making a funny noise. That's because you're hungry, Susie. Eat the food. We're out to eat to eat. Now, y'all know I share my food with a woman because I'm going to tell you what. When the food comes to the table, it's the habit I got to get out of because I dine with friends and family. I don't really do many formal professional dinners every now and again. That's different because you got a whole different kind of etiquette. But if I'm with close friends and family, when the food hits the table, I don't care whose it is, and I also have a utensil nearby, and if your food looks good, I'm going in. But then when my food comes, go get some. Come on over here. I'm not, do you want some? No, just come and get a little bit. And sometimes this is what I got to stop. I got to stop trying other people's food before they've taken a bite. I got to stop that because some people find it offensive. Some people don't care. My mother will eat your food in front of you. And she's got her food. And then when we go out to eat with my brother is younger than I. He has no say in anything. We'll just take his plate. Like, what's he going to do? Sorry, Tyler. You ordered something that looks far more delicious in front of you than it did on the menu. It looks better than the description. And now the entire family, and Tyler's just, he throws his hands in the air. He's going to go home hungry. That's just what we do. So I got to stop doing that. You can't be rude and can't steal other people's food. But chicken wings are delicious everywhere. You want good chicken wings? Go to Mr. B's. Mr. B's on 86 and Brownden Road. Go to the Atrium. Atrium has got very good chicken wings. I was eating chicken wings with Ice Cube's nephew on Friday. Don't ask me how that happened because I'm not entirely sure. Sometimes my life is like a movie. Sometimes I'm not even starring in the movie. I'm just a character in the movie of my life. I'm like a co-star sometimes. Weird things happen, but everybody's got good chicken wings. I'm not getting into this damn debate about points to East. They're good. They're all good. It's little small. They're chicken arms. There's more chickens on Earth than there are people because we like to eat their arms, their legs, and their breasts. And we like eggs. We had this discussion last week where eggs are not dairy. Stop thinking that eggs are dairy because eggs are in the dairy section. Malcolm X asked you a question about 60-something years ago. If a cat has babies in an oven, are they biscuits or kittens? Just because eggs are in the dairy section does not mean they're dairy. What if you put me in the dairy section? I'm just sitting there wearing a swimsuit. I'm not even talking to nobody. I'm wearing some Bermuda shorts and flip-flops. Like, oh, look, Sherwin is dairy. No, I'm not. So don't think just because something is in the dairy section that is dairy. I want to get to tariffs, but this story I have, I can't wait to get to it because I have so many things to say about it. There was a naked skydiving event that took place over the weekend in East Troy, a little small town, I believe, in Walworth County. Okay. Can we do a little side note on this? Because I want to say something about it. It wasn't your average day at Skydive Milwaukee in East Troy, as several people braved the jump out of a plane thousands of feet in the air. Quote, "Be as bare as you dare," said Brenda Brown with an organization called We Bear All. I got to get through this without laughing. So I've had people, oh, they're showing a video clip with this guy's private parts blurred out. Good Lord. I've had people from We Bear All on the program before because they also are sponsors of the annual Naked Bike Ride, which is a protestival. They are protesting the use of cars and burning fossil fuels, and they want to encourage people to ride bikes. And there's a couple of other things mixed in with the protest as well, but the reason why they do it is because it is attention-grabbing, and people always have something to say about it, especially if you happen to be downtown anywhere near the expansive route. It's like a 20-mile route where the naked bike riders are having their protestival. It is legal. It is protected speech. The city attorney has even issued an opinion on it. It is legal. I know it's offensive to some, but it's a legitimate form of free expression, freedom of speech, and protest. And so I had a couple folks on the show to talk about, this was in, must have been 2025, to talk about the protestival, the naked bike ride. Well, the same organization decided that they wanted to do naked skydiving. Quote from the article appearing in CBS58.com. "This is my first time skydiving, period, and naked on top of it. So I'm going to take two things off the bucket list at once," said John Jankowski with We Bear All. In fact, John was here in studio with us talking about the naked bike ride last year. Jankowski, the president of the group, says their goal is to promote body positivity, self-acceptance, and social nudity. Quote, "You're bare. You're out there," said Jankowski. "Judge me now, judge me later. I'm the same with clothes or without clothes. Why not do it naked?" Several members took to the skies, making the big jump at nearly 14,000 feet completely nude. For Joe Beck, who has completed 7,600 jumps and been a skydiving instructor for 13 years, she says it's a first. "Hey, today is just a normal day of skydiving with a different dress code," said Beck. Here's what I don't understand. So when you skydive for the first time, you go in tandem where somebody is strapped to you? So if you're naked and you're skydiving in tandem, is there someone strapped to you? I wouldn't feel comfortable, especially if it was a man. Because what if the person that I'm skydiving, because I think by law you can't jump by yourself the first time. You got to go in tandem. So I'm naked, fine, whatever. But then what if the person who is also with me on my jump? I don't know. Here's what I'm imagining, right? So let's say you live anywhere near this, what's the name of the place? The skydiving joint? It's called Skydive Milwaukee. So if you live anywhere near, right, and you may not be aware of the We Bear All organization doing their naked skydive that took place, I believe, on Saturday, you may not know anything about it, okay? And let's say they have a group of men, and they have a group of women that are in the plane at 14,000 feet. Let's just say the men go first. Let's just say. Humor me for a moment. And the men are lined up and they're ready to jump out of the plane, fully nude, maybe wearing a shoe or two. Maybe not. And you live near East Troy or in East Troy. And you don't know anything about this event. and you walk outside, maybe get a little sunshine on your face. You go outside to, I don't know, check on your flowers, or maybe to get some sunshine shining on your face, or maybe you just going outside, you're going to go and check the mail. And let's say you're a woman. You live in East Troy. You love it out there. It's very nice, very peaceful in East Troy, which I believe is in Walworth County. You're outside. You're in your front yard. You're just looking around, making sure everything is okay. And then all of a sudden, you look up. Now, remember, you're not aware that Wee Bear All is doing a naked skydive on that particular day that you, a woman, happens to be outside in your front yard, just, you know, walking around, just looking at the flowers. Or maybe you're outside taking the dog out. And imagine you look up and you see a gaggle of tallywhackers falling from the sky. And they're falling. And you're looking, oh my, and someone's like, oh, I'm in heaven. Because you walked outside and it is just a wee-wee festival for you. Some women are like, oh, God, there is a God. Oh, please land here. And she's standing there. She's waiting. How about a fella? Okay. Man is outside. He's about to cut the grass. He wants to look at the yard, make sure everything is everything. He's outside, goes into the garage, gets the lawnmower. And let's say the men from the Wee Bear All naked skydiving event, they've already landed. Up next is the women. And you look up as a man, and the sky has just gotten dark from all of the. Some of them don't shave, you know what I'm saying? And then you just look up and it's Martha, you gotta look at this. There's beavers in the sky. Actually, no, Martha, stay in the house. I got it. Could you imagine not knowing anything about a naked skydiving and you look up and you see naked women?
Depends what the women look like.
From a distance, probably until they start to get, I don't know, around 2,500 feet, then you might start making your selections. But do you warn the neighbors? Because you don't, because you got to tell them to keep the kids in the house. Because I don't think that, but I'm just imagining a woman who is stepping out of her house. And, you know, she's seeing all of these nude men.
Hi, we're your weather girl. Uh-huh. And have we got news for you?
You better listen.
Get ready for your lonely girl and leave those umbrellas at home.
All right.
It's rising.
Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Talking about a bunch of things, namely why so many bars are closing, it seems, very suddenly on Water Street and Brady Street as well. It's like this domino effect. One closes, then another. Also want people to know that a lot of these bars have been for sale for some time, and because of this cascading effect, it seems like they are all closing at the same time when one announces and another announces. The Garage on Brady and Arlington, which had, you know, a little bit of a kerfuffle with their list that they came out with. They didn't want DJs playing certain types of hip-hop music, namely from these 40 specified artists, but then also no Milwaukee rap. They had made the internal decision that they were going to close their doors permanently back in June, so them coming out with that list really wasn't necessary. But what it was able to accomplish is that you can blame the people that listen to hip-hop music on why the bar is closing, even though they had made the decision to close while they were still actively playing those hip-hop artists. Come to find out that Low Country on Water Street, which really never was a place that fit the Water Street vibe anyway. I'm not surprised that a country bar on Water Street closed because, again, like Milwaukee rap, country music generally sucks. Silk on Water in Juneau said they are going to close temporarily because of the crime, and they want to see if there's going to be any substantial improvements. Also, if you look, Silk on Water has been for sale for $1 million, and that listing is public. So a lot of these bars and restaurants and strip clubs that are closing are being impacted by the economy. Costs have gone up. Leases have gone up. Our taxes have gone up. And that impacts the bottom line of these bars. And the other factor that needs to be considered is that people are drinking substantially less, mostly because of cost, but also a major factor which has doubled in the importance of Americans, the health aspect of drinking. At the beginning of the 21st century, only 27% of people, when you poll them, thought that alcohol had a negative impact on your health. That is now better than 50%. So in the last 25 years, we have learned an awful lot about the negative health impacts of alcohol. And also, please keep this in mind as well. Health insurance is very expensive, even with the Affordable Care Act, which, let's be clear, has been gutted successfully by the Trump administration. You don't want to take unnecessary risks that will lead to you having poorer health outcomes because it's just going to cost you more money. This makes a lot of sense as time goes on and Americans are getting smarter and Americans are getting healthier. I swear each and every one of you have a gym membership because you tell the whole world because you post your gym pictures on the damn Facebooks and all over the internet. Makes no sense why some of you were still very fat. I saw a woman post a before and after picture, and the picture looked like before and before before. Look at me, everybody. How are you fatter in the second picture? How? No offense. I identify as fat. That I do, so I can talk about fat people. So don't say nothing. Oh, sure, when you're being mean to the fatties. I am a fatty. Some of y'all are fatties, too, the way y'all talk about damn chicken wings. Even if I'm talking about naked people falling out of an airplane, somebody will bring up who has the best chicken wings. They're all good. They're all delicious. Go to Wingstop. Go to Wingstart. Go to KFC. Go to FCK. Who else has? Everybody has. Well, you can get wings at Checkers. Or if you don't want a wing, get a nugget. Get a tender. There's so many different places in which you can get chicken. Go get the extra lemon pepper, fried hard, all flat, sauce on the side. I don't even know where that came from. When did lemon pepper even become that popular? It was one of those seasonings that for all of the 1980s and the 1990s, you either didn't have it or it was way in the back of the spice rack. You know, lemon pepper, what happened? Rick Ross puts lemon pepper on his wings and all everybody wants to be like Rick Ross? Are we that ridiculous? It is insane how we are led by our noses. I wish I could do a Rick Ross impression. Oh, you got to put the lemon pepper on the wings. That's more Charles Barkley. He's a fat guy, too. Well, not anymore. Charles Barkley ain't as fat as he used to be. Terrible. I like lemon pepper on my wings. I'm the round mound of rebound. Terrible. He comes to Milwaukee a lot, actually. Well, he used to. Who has the best wings? Everybody. Not Elsa's. They took them off the menu because of you blacks. Where is my information at? 62, 58, 54. In 2023, 62% of Americans said they drank alcohol. In 2024, a year later, that went down to 58%. 2025, 54%, and that's where it remains now. That is an 8% drop in just 3 years. When an industry loses 8% points of consumer participation in just 3 years, businesses dependent almost entirely upon that behavior are going to feel it. And Water Street is unusually exposed because this traditional business model isn't merely restaurants that happen to sell alcohol. Much of the district was constructed around going out specifically to drink. Tariffs and brands that Milwaukeeans are familiar with: cognac, Canadian whiskey, champagne, Irish whiskey, and some European wines are much better examples than abstractly talking about just imported alcohol. One important qualification: not every imported spirit currently faces the same tariff. Scotch, for example, became tariff-free in July, while Canadian alcohol is currently exposed to a much more severe U.S. tariff. What people in Milwaukee love to order. Oh, this is a list familiar to some of you. Hennessy, Remy Martin, and Douce. Douce is Jay-Z's cognac. Let me save you the trouble. It's disgusting. But so is Remy and so is Hennessy. How y'all drink that, I have no idea. Some people think it's racist if a bar doesn't carry Hennessy, Remy Martin, or Douce. Before, we as black people call everything that we don't like or every time we don't get our way, we call it racist. Can we think a little bit deeper about that? You know what's crazy? Anytime a black person goes out and acts an absolute ass, acts a complete donkey, acts a fool, and somebody says something that's not black about our behavior, we call them racist. Maybe you're just acting like an idiot. You ever think about that for a second? Maybe somebody isn't racist. Like if a black kid can't read, okay, and we say, hey, black kid, you can't read. Does the black kid then say we're racist because we're calling out something that they actually can't do? No, they're not. We just don't like criticism because I think that we are raised by people who also find a way to shirk accountability. So whenever you want to hold a black person accountable, you know, for their own behavior, call them racist because we shouldn't be accountable for how we behave. But let's not think that automatically because a bar or whatever doesn't carry Hennessy, Remy Martin, or Douce or any other kind of cognac that they're racist. Maybe it's too expensive. They come from France, and there is a European tariff exposure. Champagne, brands you may be familiar with, Moët, Veuve Clicquot, and Ace of Spades comes from France. And guess what? That's more expensive, too, by the Donald Trump tariffs. I'm not done. For those of you that drink Prosecco, why you would drink Prosecco? Not entirely sure, but some of you love it. Prosecco comes from Italy, and guess what? That's got a tariff on it as well. So when you go out and you order your champagne or your Prosecco, because, you know, you're fancy, it's going to cost you more in an environment where everything is more expensive and people are drinking less alcohol. Irish whiskey, that's got a tariff on it. Comes from the European Union. It's more expensive. Even Grey Goose vodka. I don't drink Grey Goose vodka. I drink Tito's. But actually, there's another vodka somebody put me on. It's called Wheatley. Oh, it's very good. Can't find it everywhere. You can get it at Shakers, though. It's better than Grey Goose. It's better than Tito's. Back in the day, we used to drink Belvedere. Nah, that stuff's not good. Even before that, we drank Absolut. If you drink Smirnoff or Absolut, we should probably get some counseling. You know what I mean? Like, why? Who goes out and says, "Hi, I'll have a Smirnoff cocktail." Ugh. Back in the day, early 2000s, Absolut made, I don't know if they still make it, a pear-flavored vodka. And we would drink it with cranberry juice, and we would drink it incessantly. Now, can't even stand the smell of it. But this is also back when men were ordering Appletinis. If I see a man ordering an apple teeny, I am immediately going to engage him in violence. Let me get a, everybody else ordering beer and I don't know, ordering Douce and Hennessy. Let me get a, can I get an apple teeny, make sure I got extra maraschino cherry. Boom, right in his chin. Punch you right in the face. Do people still drink apple teenies? I don't know why I'm asking you, Xavier. You probably never had an apple teeny in your life. They're disgusting. It's gross. Why you would drink that? Walking around a club with a martini glass? Like that in and of itself, because you got to walk like a little ballerina. Like you have to like tiptoe. Like, oh, I don't want to spill my apple teeny. Stop it. You're bumping into me. I've got an apple teeny.
You don't want a little martini when you're at the jazz club?
No. Mm-mm.
Makes you feel elegant.
I am elegant. Just listen to my radio show. I'm the most elegant person on these airwaves. I exude class and sophistication. Come on now.
I agree.
My drink does not determine my sophistication level.
This is a very classy show.
It's as classy as it gets, goddammit. If you don't like it, you know where you can go. You're listening to the very classy edition of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, exclusively on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
For parents, choosing the right school is the most important decision you'll make. At Milwaukee College Prep, we don't take that responsibility lightly. At Milwaukee College Prep, your child is more than a student. They're a young person who we get to know by name, strengths, and the areas where they need the most support. We partner closely with families, provide steady support, and act early when challenges arise. Your child's growth, well-being, and success are at the heart of everything they do. We would love to meet you and your child in person to share more about how we can work together. Don't wait. Limited seats are available. Apply today at MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com or call 414-264-6000. 414-264-6000. Milwaukee College Prep didn't expect bad girls, because sometimes every now and again you get a bad girl. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I love
Xavier,
girls.
Don't. That's not the kind of bad girls I'm talking about. Bad as in naughty behavior. Nope. Hold on.
That's good stuff.
There's a time and a place for everything. Naked skydiving. Nothing wrong with that either. Donald Trump's tariffs are increasing the cost of alcohol in an environment where people are drinking less. I just don't want anyone coming away with the simplest response that African-American behavior. It's a part of it, just like everything else, just like the increase in sales taxes, just like the reduced number of people that are going out and drinking. When people drink, they drink less and they take more time off. Some of you are going to do dry January. I don't quite understand it, but you're going to do a dry January. Some of you also grow your mustaches in November. To put emphasis on prostate cancer, no shave November. Sometimes there's months when you're not supposed to cut your grass. No mow May. That's ridiculous. Cut your grass. Oh, but Sherwin, something, the honeybees are not, they're going to stay away from your yard. They don't want to be in your yard. Don't, just because something is trending, you don't have to do it. Are we still boycotting Target? We still boycotting the NFL because you're waiting for Colin Kaepernick to get signed? It's been 10 years now. It's okay to watch a football game. It's all right. I'm not going to tell on you if you do. Just because something is trending doesn't mean you have to follow it. Tequila. Don Julio, Patron, Casamigos, and Clase Azul. They are imported but don't automatically attribute its price to the European or Canadian alcohol tariffs. As we continue to go back and forth about Mexico and the tariffs that we have on their products. Also, Modelo and Corona, made in Mexico, imported, but not the same tariffs as the European Union, which includes vodka, Irish whiskey, champagne, Prosecco, and cognac. Reuters' analysis of the European alcohol tariffs estimated that tariffs could ultimately add roughly $1 to the cost of some drinks in Milwaukee bars, depending on the product and how much importers, distributors, and establishments pass through to consumers. But what you're really going to notice is that your drinks are weaker. They're going to pour a little less alcohol to try and maintain the price. But haven't we seen product shrinkage all over the place? The fries that you get might have a few less fries. The burgers that you order at some of your favorite fast food restaurants, the patties a little bit smaller. These are the things that they are doing. It is this retail shrinkage. Maybe when you buy a box of cereal, not sure who still eats cereal. You might have more air in the package than cereal. Maybe you're buying chips. I'm not sure who's still eating potato chips. Kidding. Everybody still eats potato chips. I love a crunchy potato chip myself. You might have a few less potato chips in the bag because the things are imported and there's all the tariffs and all of the things. And so instead of raising the prices, because that's going to get the consumer's attention immediately, you just give them a little less product. Irish whiskey and Polish vodka are estimated at roughly 26 to 52 cents more per drink in some scenarios because of European American tariffs. Cognac is particularly useful in the Milwaukee discussion. This isn't a hypothetical product selection. A Milwaukee area bottle service menu provides a nice snapshot of what consumers, especially African American ones, actually encounter. Hennessy XO, Hennessy Privilege, Hennessy VS, I believe the VS stands for Very Smooth, Remy Martin, VSOP, VSOP, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, the very soul of perfection. That's a little arrogant. Douce, VSOP / XO are all offered alongside Moet Champagne, Grey Goose, Jameson Crown Royal, Don Julio, and Johnny Walker. Speaking of Crown Royal, that's how some of you got here. Grandpa reached in that purple velvet bag, took him a couple of swigs to the head. You know, back then, grandma was wearing a muumuu. Nothing underneath. Nothing. No bra. Nothing. Just sagging breasts. Dirty house shoes. Grandpa loved it. Grandpa was paying all the bills. That muumuu was all it took. Now men need all this fancy lingerie, all this. Moo-moo and a woman's hair was in rollers. Well, no bonnets back then. Them pink rollers, too. Them big foam pink rollers. Grandpa went to town. Why some of y'all have 13 aunts and uncles. Grandpa, look, put on that one moo-moo that I like. Which one, the pink one or the blue? Yeah, the one with them little flowers on it. Good Lord. Grandpa come home from the factory with a metal lunchbox and a coffee thermos.
Sha-boing, boing, boing.
All he wanted was his hot dinner because he earned it. He was at the plant all day. Give him his hot dinner. You know what's happening after that.
Bust it open. Get you some.
That's right, Grandma. Spread them. She lift up that muumuu. Good God. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes exclusively on 101.7 FM. Wait, hang on a second. I got to say it differently. You're listening to 101.7 The Truth, Milwaukee Black Talk, the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Live from the American Family Insurance Studios, you're listening to 101.7 The Truth. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.